The challenge has been putting the live into the virtual conference. People who go to voice conferences, they do so for many reasons. And one of the key reasons, I think, is the fact that you can network and you can meet people and you can be face to face with them. And I think at the time we decided, we had to decide for good reason to remove the physical conference and get the virtual conference working. I don't think the world was ready for the idea of a completely virtual 4-day event. And so it's had a lot of challenges. The first one has been soft challenges. And what I mean by that is helping all of our attendees see that this is a viable option, that it is going to be live, it's going to feel live, that we've got good production value, and that it's not just another Zoom meeting, you know, which I think was the concern for everybody when we made the pivot. From that point onwards, we've had technical challenges like you wouldn't believe. It's like climbing the broadcast industry Everest. And what we're effectively doing is creating a television network that has 5 channels all streaming for 4 days. So if you think about it in that light, it's technically very challenging, but we do have a fantastic team. We employed some TV producers to come and help us show what they would do, because we were crossing into uncharted territory for us with that kind of thing. We bought a lot of equipment and we learned how to use it.
Yeah, I think what people don't realize that this must be a massive investment on your part that you didn't count on before. And I saw that you lowered the prices. How can you do that?
I mean, if you take your average attendee, they see a ticket for a voiceover conference, you know, say £300 or $400 or whatever it may be. And it seems like a very high price to pay. When you break it down, as we did when we decided to move to a virtual event, all we did was we removed the cost of the hotel and the food. And the cost of the hotel and the food is 50% of the ticket, which is eye-watering if you think about it. But that's what you're paying for when you go to a conference, to have the networking and being face-to-face and mingling. You're paying for the hotel and the food. It's just what it costs. So when we made the change, we announced it, and around about 30% of the people who had a ticket asked for a full refund, and of course we gave that to them. The other 70% stayed, and all bar none of our sponsors stuck with us as well, to which we're extremely grateful. And I should shout out Bodalgo, Armin at Bodalgo, and Rebecca and Robert at Source Elements especially, as our gold sponsors. And from that point on, we moved the schedule. So rather than being completely UK-based, going from 9 to 5, we moved the schedule from 1 till 9 in the evening. And that allowed us to invite the North American audience and Canada and Latin America to the show as well. And we now have more people attending the conference than we even had capacity to in the physical sense. So we're really hoping it's going to go well. And actually, most of the people who requested a refund have actually come back on board now that they've got their head around the fact that we are in lockdown and it isn't going to end super soon, and that this is the next best option that we have.
So did you have to make any sacrifices in terms of content? Are there certain things that you can do in person that you cannot do online?
I would say 85% of the program is the same. What we've had to remove and replace are things that technologically we couldn't do. So for example, Stefan Cornicard was running an ADR 3-hour paid workshop where the voices in the room were seeing time-synced dialogue and walking up to the mic and literally doing it there and then. And we didn't feel we could adequately do that in an online scenario, at least with the current technology. And although there are platforms like Source Connect that can do it, we would have to distribute that to everybody who was in attendance. And so it's just not practically reasonable to do it. So they're the kind of things that we have had to do. The other thing that we've been able to do, which has been a blessing really, is to be able to, now that we've opened this to a global audience and we're no longer geographically restricted, things like the agents panel, where previously we just had 5 UK agents on there and it was relatively secular for our country. We now have an agent from the UK, one from Norway, one from Sweden, one from America, and one from Czechoslovakia, I think. And so when we've changed the content so that we're now looking at the future of agents in a global sense rather than just in the UK. So I'm actually really excited to see how that's going to change the dynamic, because it makes the subject so much more interesting.
Do you have to watch it in real time, or can you do it at your own leisure?
Yeah, so we tried to design the virtual conference in the same way that the physical conference was designed, and as much as possible, keep the format exactly the same. So in the physical conference, you have three rooms, each with a talk going at once, and then you have two workshops running. And we've mirrored that exactly for the online scenario. The only one difference that we've done with the times is we've had to stagger the start times by 10 minutes for the three talk rooms, because Peter is our live MC, our live compere, and he can't physically introduce three talks in one go. Aside from that, in the physical conference, we recorded everything and then we uploaded it to the reattendance platform. And reattendance then allowed you to go and see the replays. So when you were at the physical conference, you chose which talks you really wanted to go and see individually with that person and ask questions of. And then you go and watch the replays of everything that you missed afterwards. So you can still go and see all the content. We've done the exact same thing for the virtual conference. And you can go and watch any stream live that you want to watch and ask questions of the presenter. And then the ones that you missed, you can go and watch back, and you can watch the Q&A that the rest of the audience asked at the time.
And for how long would that be available? Indefinitely?
Yeah, indefinitely. We have no reason to remove it. And actually what we're doing this year to help people who may be going a bit stir crazy in their houses, we're also giving them access to all the recordings from 2018 and 19 as well. So there's a huge wealth of information that they'll be getting access for just with the one ticket. It's something like 120 different talks overall.
Now, how do you handle that with the Q&A? Is that going to be live? Are people being able to interject during workshops and things like that? How do you handle the Q&A?
Yeah, so we have a different format for talks as we do to panels and we do to the workshops. With the talks, we have live comparing, bookending the entire talk. Then we have the actual talk itself, which is pre-recorded and which is a playback. And at the end of the playback, we have live Q&A from those presenters who join us after the talk. And from an audience's point of view, it should be seamless. They will just see one stream with the live compare, the live MC, the pre-recorded talk, and then the live Q&A. And the reason that we decided to make the actual presentation part pre-recorded is that otherwise we would have to rely on 50 presenters and their own individual internet connections and upload speeds. And there is a expectation when you buy a ticket that you're going to get to watch what you want to watch. So we had to be able to guarantee that. So we've made it as live as we can. And the interaction from the questions is live. We're going to be able to tweet with hashtag OVC2020, and those will get read out live and pushed on screen live. So it is a live experience overall. That's the talks. The actual panels, they will be literally live, and they'll be done inside Zoom meetings embedded with inside reattendance itself. And the same goes for the workshops. So in the same way that you can request to speak or put your hand up in Zoom, you'll be able to do things in the situations where you need to, like the workshops themselves. So the entire conference has a very live feel to it.
I understand you're testing all the connections and you want to be ready for the conference itself in May. How's it going so far?
Well, we've just completed our third day of dress rehearsals, and we've got another two more to go. To give you an idea, we have one day's dress rehearsal for the awards that we do, and no dress rehearsal normally for the physical event. So it's a challenging upfront work heavy scenario that we're in. In the main, things are going very well. We still have a few little bugs to iron out. But I'm annoying people at the minute by walking around and pulling out people's internet connections when they're midstream and things to see what happens and see how they recover from it, because these things will happen.
Now, earlier you mentioned sponsors like Bodalgo, and usually they throw in some sweet deals and there's an exhibition space. How are you going to do that? Are we going to expect any special deals from the sponsors?
In terms of special deals, I'm going to keep that under my hat because I wouldn't want to... I wouldn't want to give anything away that the sponsors might want to have as a surprise on the day.
All right, but there are going to be some good discounts, perhaps?
I will let the sponsors tell you that.
Okay.
I'm afraid you're not going to get that one out of me right now. But in terms of the expo area, we did think long and hard about how we would do that. And the way that we've managed to do that is, if you think about walking up to an expo stand, let's say you go up to Source Elements and Source Connect, you ask them what their product is about, and they basically give you an elevator pitch of what the product is, what it does, what the costs are. That we're going to pre-record, and that's going to go into the expo area of the online conference. So at any point, you can go up and view that. And those will be, again, available for forever. And then the contact details will be there alongside. If you want to get in touch with them and, you know, go and talk to them specifically, then you'll be able to do that as well.
Till what time can people sign up for this? Do you have a deadline?
The deadline, I believe, is the day before the event, which would be the 6th of May. And that would be actually midday US time on the 6th of May. And the reason we have that deadline is that we then have to take anybody who's joined or who's bought a ticket and assign them access in the reattendance platform and get it sent out to them with instructions in time, them to actually make sure they don't miss anything. We've got some nice surprises for the opening ceremony, which is happening on the Thursday. And we are actually putting on what I would say is quite, well, we're putting on a social event. And if we can pull it off, it's going to be fantastic. If it doesn't work, it's going to be utter chaos. But we are going to try and invite people to come along and basically, you know, raise a glass at home. Essentially, we thought about how people interact when they go to a conference in a social sense. So you go to the bar, and the first thing you do is you walk in and you go, "Hi, everyone." And everyone turns around if it's cheers and says, "Hi." And then what you do is you go to the bar and you pair off with 2, 3, or 4 people. That's generally what we do as human beings, and that's what we're trying to replicate. So we've created all these rooms, and they've got loads of silly names like the beach and, you know, the dungeon and the wizard's lair and all this kind of thing. And we're going to assign people in little groups into those rooms. And if they want to come out, they can come back in and go and request to join another room, walk to a different part of the bar. So we've got fingers crossed that it's going to work. It should be good fun. It could be complete chaos and a massive disaster, but we'll give it a go.
Two more things before we end. The awards gala, that's usually on the last day of the conference, right? And of course, people can't come together physically speaking. And you moved that to another date, is that correct?
Yeah, so we wanted to give the world a chance to heal in terms of the awards, because yes, we can do a virtual awards. The date for the awards is September the 19th. And if we're allowed to do a physical awards, we definitely will, because people want to get dressed up in, you know, their black tie and their pretty dresses and go and have a meal and talk to everybody and then come up and walk on stage and give their speeches. That's what they want to do. We've made the September 19th a hard deadline. So if we're not allowed to do it, we will still run it on that date and we will do it virtually and we will make the best of it. But what we can't do is delay it till next year, because all of the people have awards for this specific time. So it's not like we could delay the awards till next year and do 2 years in one event. It just wouldn't work. So fingers crossed we'll be able to do the physical event. And we will probably stream it live as well, now that we have the technology and the know-how to do that. But if we can't, then we will do it in a virtual sense.
So I'm going to give you the last word here by telling us some of what you consider to be the highlights of the conference.
So the highlights for me are 2 keynote speakers are outstanding. There's an English chap called Alexander Armstrong, who is one of the best character performers I've ever seen in my life. He is so versatile and he's extremely funny as well. We've been trying to get him to One Voice for 3 years now, and it's never worked out because of his schedule, because he's a busy chap. But I'm really pleased that he's there. And I think everybody, irrelevant of where they're from, will get something from him. Our second keynote is Kate Robbins, who again is a fantastic character actress in her own right. There's a UK TV show that was called Spitting Image in the 80s. And she voiced almost all of the female characters in Spitting Image. She's a real class act. And finally, for me as a personal preference, Troy Baker coming and agreeing to come to One Voice. He is the name in gaming globally. He's been in virtually every game you've ever even heard of. I think my favorite game he was in was The Last of Us. And it's just a masterclass of watching a really amazing actor work. If you couple that with the networking functions we're putting on, with the workshops that are available, the free workshops and the paid workshops, and the expectation behind us that everyone wants us to succeed with this. You know, it's a brand new thing. It's never been done before. And as one of my friends said to me the other day, we're making history. And I just want everyone to come and be a part of that because it's going to be so much fun.